Hey, you want that to go?
And our first news takeout takes you directly to last night's Super Bowl. It was supposed to be a high-scoring aerial contest. It wasn't, but it was a great game of pitting two fantastic offenses. And as our sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen predicted last week, it was all about the turnovers.
Picked off. Look out. It's past Manning, and it's Tracy Porter taking it all the way. Touchdown, New Orleans.
That may have just locked it up. That Tracy Porter interception, one interception of the game, Peyton Manning threw it, and in the end, it was all New Orleans Saints. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, you kind of called this one.
Yeah.
Recap the game for us.
It was a tough one.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Indianapolis got off to a 10-point lead, yeah. And at that point, I would say it felt as though Indianapolis was charging ahead for their second Super Bowl. There was a fourth down stand that they had again when they stopped the Saints, and it was 10-3 at the time. Indiana held them, and at that point, the Colts had all the momentum in the game. Then we get into the second quarter, and it started to shift a little bit. New Orleans started to gain a little ground. They started to get a little momentum. They scored. They built some confidence, and then the Colts punted twice. They barely got on the field, and that's when I think Peyton Manning, the quarterback for the Colts, got a little iced. He got a little cold. He got a little stiff, and there was a little worry on the Colts side because the momentum was building. Come into the second half, and that's when things really started to change because Sean Payton, the coach for the New Orleans Saints, made a daring call the first time that an onside kick was done in the fourth quarter.
Well, nobody was expecting this.
Onside kick to start the second half, and the ball bounces off the hands of a Colt, and it looks like the Saints had it for a second, and it's Saints football. They recover the onside kick.
Hugely risky move, and it pays off, and it really put the Colts off guard, it seemed like.
It put them off guard, and then the Saints took advantage of it. I think it would have been one thing if they had done that and then the Colts had stopped them. If the Colts had stopped them, it would have changed the character of the game. But the Saints took that opportunity and drove quickly and scored a touchdown, and that really completely shifted the entire energy of the game. And coming to the fourth quarter, that was really the most – that was a disaster. Everything crumbled for the Colts. They missed a field goal, and – of course,
it's a 51-yarder though,
and it was Matt Stover. He hadn't hit a 50-yarder since his first year, in 1993. And then, of course, the Tracy Porter interception. Let me go back to this one. Peyton Manning was throwing his like bread and butter play, and the wide receiver was cutting to the left a little bit. And he was going to curl around to the right, and he was going to throw it to the right. Well, the Tracy Porter read the play from the beginning. He knew exactly what Peyton Manning was going to throw. Peyton Manning would tell you that it was an amazing play, but really, and that some people would say he made a mistake, but really everyone was doing what they were supposed to do, but Tracy Porter knew exactly where he was going to throw it. He stopped them, and he's going to go into Saints lore for the rest of his life.
Yes, indeed. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen talking about the Super Bowl. The Saints win 31-17.
And in Connecticut, an explosion blew apart a power plant under construction in a town called Middleton. At least 5 people are dead. They're still searching for other casualties. Lucy Nalpathanchil now joins us. She's a reporter and producer at WNPR in Connecticut. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning, Celeste.
What is the latest on casualties in Middleton?
Well, here's what we know. As of last night at a briefing, there are 5 confirmed dead, up to 14 injured. When this accident first happened, there were discussions that up to 100 people could have been on site. We now know there were about 50 construction workers on site at this power plant in Middletown, Connecticut, doing some routine work when this explosion happened. So right now it's really a search and rescue situation. There are search dogs on the scene. Emergency responders from around the state have descended upon Middletown, helping to try to find more bodies, possibly survivors of these workers that were on site when that explosion happened yesterday morning.
Well, the plant was under construction. We've heard already that authorities have said it is not terrorism. Do we have any idea what the cause was?
A lot of the officials, fire officials, say that they were doing a procedure known as a blowdown, where they're purging in these pipelines of natural gas when the explosion happened. And again, this explosion was so powerful that it could be felt about 20 miles away. It pretty much ricocheted down what's known as the Connecticut Valley region because this plant is right by the Connecticut River. So it was a very scary moment for residents in town as well as around the state because people didn't know what was happening. And again, we're finding out that it's been contained to this site in Middletown. These construction crew on site, there might be many people buried under metal, the rubble. Right now, they don't have a number of how many people they're looking for.
Okay, Lucy Nalpathanchil. She's a reporter and producer at WNPR.
Todd Zwillick, our Washington takeaway correspondent, joins us now with a portrait of Obama-style bipartisanship after the Democrats are licking their wounds from the results of that Massachusetts election and losing the 60-vote majority there in the Senate. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, John.
What's bipartisanship sound like? You have a little example.
Yeah, well, the president went on CBS television right before the Super Bowl. CBS carried the Super Bowl. He knew people would be watching, gave Katie Couric an interview, and invited Republicans to the table. Listen to this one to talk about health care.
How do you guys want to lower costs? How do you guys intend to reform the insurance market so people with pre-existing conditions, for example, can get health care? How do you want to make sure that the 30 million people who don't have health insurance can get it?
Of course, he's talking to the American people more than Republicans, who he can actually pick up the phone and talk to right there in Washington.
Right, he is. And what you're seeing, I think, is a continuation of a shift in strategy from the White House. Of course, we all know they lost in Massachusetts. One of the messages the Democrats say they got from that race is more transparency, bring the GOP, more cooperation in Washington. Well, what the president is doing with this is saying, well, you know, Republicans, you've been doing your traditional role of sniping from the wings, criticizing. It's been working very well. Tell you what. February 25th, come on television in this meeting. Let's hear your healthcare ideas. You know, Democrats, one advantage they do have is their healthcare ideas have always polled much more popular with the public
right.
than Republicans. So, hey, let's hear your ideas. Let's let the public decide. And instead
bully,
of just shooting us from the wings.
Bully
you know?
Pulpit management there from the White House. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.